You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Michigan has some of the loosest homeschooling laws in the nation. We are one of 11 states that does not require any contact with state or local officials while kids are being homeschooled. On yesterday's program, we heard from Rachel Coleman of the Coalition for Responsible Home Education as she talked about her concerns that homeschooled children could slip through the cracks, even end up in dangerous situations. Coleman wants to see Michigan increase oversight of families that homeschool. Today, another side to that debate. Mike Donnelly is an attorney for the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. He works with homeschool families across the state. Mike, first off, what is the Homeschool Legal Defense Association? What do you do?
HSLDA is a national advocacy organization for home educating families. We provide support for families who are home educating their children. We provide services to them to help them educate successfully and to make homeschooling possible. We have 80,000 member families all over the world. And when you look at home education, you see that it's a growing movement here in the United States, but all around the world. And it's very exciting to be with you today to talk about it.
How many in Michigan members do you have?
We have tens of thousands. I would say probably in the 25 to 50,000 family range in Michigan.
Can you give us a sense of what the homeschool landscape in Michigan looks like? How many families are choosing this and why?
Well, Cindy, you know, there are tens of thousands of families in Michigan who are homeschooling, and I think Michigan homeschoolers are probably like homeschoolers all over the country. And when they are asked, and there's been research done by the U.S. Department of Education, when they're asked why they're homeschooling, the top three reasons tend to be they're concerned about the environment in the school system. They would like to provide their child with a particular kind of educational content, whether that's faith-based or morality-based education. And the third reason is there is some special reason, some special need that that child has, that the parent is looking for some kind of educational opportunity, whether the child's struggling in school or accelerating in school, and they want to provide a more individualized environment for their child.
And Michigan is one of the states with the fewest restrictions and regulations on families who choose to homeschool their kids. And that is something the Homeschool Legal Defense says is good. Why is that, Mike?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We do categorize Michigan as one of the states that has one of the fewest regulations. It's not that there are no regulations. There is a law that says that if you want to homeschool your child, you've got to provide them an organized educational program, or you can educate them under the non-public education law. So there are some regulations that you have to follow. It's not like there isn't anything. But we believe that, you know, parents can be trusted. We believe that homeschooling has demonstrated over the last 40 years to be a very effective way of preparing children to take their place in society as effective citizens. They're well socialized. Research suggests that children are very well academically prepared. They do well in college. And so what we found is that the way things are seems to be working fine. In fact, what you see is a trend across the country of actually removing restrictions from homeschooling families as opposed to increasing them. And so Michigan tends to be where most states are actually moving to.
Well, Mike, for those advocates who would like to see the state create some stricter oversight when it comes to homeschooling, there seem to be two separate issues they point to: safety and educational quality. So let's dig into that first one, which is, I dare say, the most contentious. As you know, there have been some cases in Michigan and elsewhere where parents who had pulled their children from public school to homeschool were found to have been abusing their children. A family in Lansing this summer was charged with a child cruelty, allegedly keeping their five children in what authorities describe as a dungeon. And then, of course, the very well-publicized case in Detroit in 2015, where the remains of two children were found in their mother's freezer after she had pulled them from public school and they were homeschooled. Did homeschool laws in these cases create a loophole for these parents to hide abuse of their children?
I wouldn't say so. First of all, I want to say that, you know, those kinds of situations are reprehensible, and our organization condemns child abuse of any kind and every kind. Children deserve to be brought up in a loving, nurturing environment where they can trust that their parents are doing what's best for them. And in fact, that's what you see in the vast majority of cases. But sadly, we do live in a world where there are some parents who do these kinds of things. These are extraordinarily rare circumstances, even, you know, when you control for homeschooling, public schooling, or private schooling. And so, you know, when you look at these two cases, the fact is that in both of these cases, and there are other cases around the country, very small number, but there are some sad, tragic cases. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, these families are known to the social services entities, and they have a record of some kind. And what's happened is they've fallen off the radar screen from the social services people who have not followed up and have not done perhaps the level of investigation that they should have done. So we would not say that the homeschooling regulation would have prevented that, even if you increased the regulation, even if you were to require some of the things that some of the proponents of more regulation would suggest, such as annual reporting or submitting assessments or other kinds of things. You know, people who want to do bad things are going to get away with doing bad things no matter how much reporting you put on them. You know, it's the old argument, criminals are going to commit crimes no matter what you do. And so the question then becomes, what level of regulation is appropriate to impose in a free country like ours?
Well, let's talk about the Child Protective Services angle, because that Lansing case had parents with a long track record with CPS, and then pulling the five kids out of public school to be homeschooled because of the way that Michigan is set up. There's homeschooling parents don't have to register with the state or have contact with officials. If there is past involvement with CPS, such as there was in Lansing, with the Lansing case, do you think there should be some additional oversight on homeschooling for those families?
We don't support an increase in regulation of any kind. We think that the tools exist for, you know, the state to investigate situations where there are concerns, just as you mentioned, as in this case. Just because those children were removed from the public school to homeschool does not insulate them from investigation. In fact, I would say that what the social worker should have done is they should have, you know, perhaps more aggressively investigated and said, look, these family, we know them, they've been accused of abusing their children, now they're trying to take their kids out of school, what's going on here? There's nothing to prevent the social workers from investigating further that situation, and it sounds like in this situation, that's what they should have done.
So you're saying it's really on this, on CPS, or it's on the state, on legal authorities to make sure cases like this don't slip through the crack?
Well, of course. Why wouldn't it be their responsibility? They're the ones charged with investigating these cases. They need to do a good job doing it. And Cindy, I want to tell you something.
Sure.
We expect a lot of our Child Protective Services personnel, too much. They are under-resourced and understaffed to handle the number of cases that come in. There are over 7 million instances of child abuse reports in the country every year. There are only 33,000 caseworkers to handle all of those cases, because Child Protective Services is now being charged with more and more investigations, and their policies require them to follow a very broad rubric of investigative protocols. They have to do too much. And so what we need to really look at is reforming that system so that when there are situations like this Lansing case or the Detroit case or cases in California or wherever they may pop up, regardless of where they come from and whether homeschooling is involved or not, we need to make sure that we've got caseworkers who have the resources and the time to be able to investigate and to protect these children who are at risk.
Let's talk about the issue of educational quality. And one of the reasons parents are choosing homeschooling over public school, as you say, because they're perhaps unhappy with how their child's being taught. When it comes to academic performance, what do we know about how homeschool students do in comparison with their peers in public school?
Well, I think we could be on pretty safe ground to say they do at least as well and perhaps much better academically than their peers in private and public school. There's a lot of research on this, and mostly what it shows is that children who are homeschooled perform 20 to 25 percentile points higher. There's some studies that show that children who are homeschooled go on to university at a higher rate. They are retained in university. They graduate at a higher rate. They have somewhat higher ACT, SAT scores based on some research that's been looked at. So that's academically how it seems to shake out.
Why is it that homeschooled children are not required to take standardized tests, unlike students in traditional schools?
Well, in some states, they are required to do so.
How about in Michigan?
Michigan, no. There's no requirement for homeschooled students to take any particular test.
Why is that? I'm real interested, just as a mom who has schooled kids, not at home, but why is that?
I think that's a fair question. I mean, a lot of people don't actually like children taking tests, and that's teachers too. I mean, when you ask teachers if they like subjecting children to tests and then having to teach to the test, they're not sure that that's actually very representative of how the child is performing, right? Whatever questions they happen to ask, then we decide that's how the children are performing. And that's a very constrained view of the child that doesn't take into account some other factors. So I think when you look at the educational landscape, there are a number of experts who would say maybe standardized tests isn't the best way to determine whether a child is actually doing well. But at the end of the day, to answer your question, that's just how the state of Michigan decided it was going to do it back in 1996 when it passed the law. I said, look, if you want to take on the responsibility of educating your child, make sure you put them into or provide them with an organized educational program and go for it. We trust you parents. And what the research seems to show is it seems to be working.
If you've just joined us, I'm talking with Mike Donnelly. He's an attorney with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association as we talk about the landscape for homeschooling in Michigan. And Mike, some of the suggested reforms that came up in 2015 included something like having children check in with a mandated reporter, let's say someone like a doctor or a pastor. How much of a burden would that put, in your view, on families who are choosing to homeschool?
Well, I think that's a significant burden for anyone. If we're concerned about children who are being abused, why wouldn't we impose that requirement on everyone? Why is it just homeschool children? I mean, requiring people to go in to see a mandatory reporter, whether it's a social worker or a teacher in the school, seems to be not really the way we do things in this country. We don't presume people are guilty and then until they prove themselves innocent. We presume that people are innocent unless we have reason to believe otherwise, and then we conduct an investigation, and if we find out there are problems, we charge them, we investigate them, and we make sure that justice is done.
So if you think of negative consequences of this suggested reform, what would you see those as?
Well, it's unnecessary. I mean, it's an unnecessary burden that, I mean, okay, so let's say if we're trying to actually prevent child abuse, right? Why would we think that on that one day when the parents take their kids to the mandatory reporter, when we know that the mandatory reporter is going to be looking for signs of child abuse or neglect, that somehow the parent who actually, let's assume they actually are abusing or neglecting their children, like that's actually going to show that.
Mike, overall, is there any oversight that the state could or should implement as safety net measures for our children?
The state of Michigan has very strong oversight mechanisms. You know, people can call in and make a report of abuse or neglect if they are aware of it. I know the state of Michigan follows up on those reports, investigates. Sadly, there are situations, as you've mentioned, and there are others, too, that are not related to home education, but other forms of education. You know, when you look at the sources of reports nationally, and I think this is probably true of Michigan, only 18% come from education sources. 50% or so come from professional, but there's 20% that come from non-professional sources, friends, family, neighbors, and another 20% that come from anonymous or other sources. So when you look at where reports come from and the number of reports that come in, it seems to me that as a society, we've done what we should do, given, you know, that we don't want to treat people as guilty until they prove themselves innocent, to provide for opportunities for child abuse or neglect to be, you know, reported, investigated, and followed up on. And these kinds of tragic situations just point out that we've got an overworked CPS caseload, and I hope that people will look at that and consider that as a way to reform the situation and really provide services to children who are at real risk of harm, and not looking at things like homeschooling or that sort of thing.
Is there any oversight at all that the state could or should implement to make sure that the educational quality is on par for children who are homeschooled?
I mean, you know, you can look around the country and see there are states that require assessments on an annual basis, some require it on every 2 or 3 year basis. There are a majority of states that require very little assessment. In fact, a majority of states don't require any assessment. So I think Michigan fits in the category with the majority that, you know, there is no need to impose any additional oversight. So I just don't think it's necessary.
Mike Donnelly is an attorney with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, working with homeschool families all across Michigan. Mike, thanks for your time today. We appreciate being able to talk with you.
Cindy, thank you. This is an important area, and I'm glad that you and others are interested in and examining it. It's been a pleasure to be with you today.
Yesterday, we also brought you the voices of some homeschooling parents. Today, a different set of voices. You'll hear from two homeschool alumni who are in favor of reforms. But first, an elementary school principal tells us how Michigan's homeschooling law affects his school.
My name is Fred Abel. I'm a principal of a K-4 elementary school in western Wayne County. We'll have students that are in our school, and sometimes there's a conflict, sometimes there isn't, but they'll move, and they'll claim that the parents will claim that they're going to homeschool their students. We'll find sometimes that those students will bounce back to our buildings. and they really have never done any school while they're gone. So quite often the children will actually say that I haven't done school this year. So we probably see students leave and or come to us two or three times a year that have had that happen. My biggest concern at first is just safety. We see children that don't seem to be in stable homes, and without any law tracking them to know where they are, we know nothing. So we will quite often try to follow up, and I'll ask for information of where they're going, but there's nothing. There's no way to track that they're getting any kind of education, whether they're taking assessments, whether they're growing as young human beings.
My name is Trinity McFadden, and I live in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I was homeschooled from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. I had a pretty positive homeschool experience overall. I was really lucky to have parents that were very conscientious about tracking my educational progress. They used great curriculum. They had me attending a cooperative in high school so that I could study subjects like chemistry and speech and debate with other students, which gave me great opportunities for socialization in addition to access to some additional teachers. I think all homeschooled children deserve to have a positive experience, and I think most people want homeschooling to be a positive educational option. But because of that, I think some simple reforms could make a huge impact. Michigan is one of the least regulated states in the nation for homeschooling, which creates some issues around unseen child abuse and educational neglect. I personally knew students who were affected by educational neglect. I knew some students who had learning disabilities that went undiagnosed and affected their education. Many students I knew lacked a real strong education in science and math. I also knew some students who spent more time working in family businesses than they did being educated. And sometimes families were just so large that the youngest children could get left behind, or the oldest children were actually spending more time taking care of younger siblings than getting their own education.
My name is Dean Simmer. I am a native of Michigan. I grew up in Traverse City. I live in Detroit. I was a student in the Traverse City Public Schools through elementary school, and my family made the decision to homeschool. So I homeschooled through high school and graduated as a homeschool student. One of the concerns that I have, and this was never an issue for my family because we were very engaged in our church, in social outings and things of that nature. Us being off the grid or off the radar or falling through the cracks really wasn't a thing. But if your motives aren't great, or your motives are general suspicion around other people and things of that nature, you can use homeschooling in Michigan to disappear. I also think, you know, and I know this is a sensitive topic, but I think in some way we have to measure progress of some kind in terms of academics. You know, can they read? Can they write at a certain age? Are they learning basic math skills and basic English skills and things like that?
That was Dean Simmer, Trinity McFadden, and Fred Abels. Today's Stateside was directed by Mike Blank, engineered by Peg Watson. I'm Cynthia Canty. Thank you so very much for listening.